Now, I hope that you have a bulletin and you have it open to the outline. I hope you have something to write with. And what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be just sharing with you 20 verses in rapid succession. And today you're going to notice two things about the sermon. First of all, it's a very long introduction. And secondly, today's sermon is a lot like trying to get a drink from a fire hose. So I hope that you'll pay attention, jot down what you need to jot down, and pay attention. Focus especially in these verses on two words, glory and holy. So we're going to be looking at those, glory and holy. These words are related. And we begin in Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? The next three verses come from 1 Chronicles 16. This is when David had rescued the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines and was returning it to the tabernacle. Remember, this was before there was a temple. He returns the ark to the tabernacle. 1 Corinthians 16, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. From the Psalms, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Then the angels sang the night that the angels appeared to the shepherds when Jesus was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. From the book of Romans, we know that we're sinners. And the thing about our sin, going back to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve's sin, the sin that's been passed on all of humanity, the sin that has been passed to us, the impact of our sin is this. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And let that sink in for your own life. Your sin has caused you to fall short of God's glory. Romans chapter 8, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. 1 Corinthians, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. 2 Peter, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious promises and very great promises, that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That phrase is especially important for us to recognize today. We can become partakers of the divine nature. And specifically, as we've been looking at these verses, the holiness of God. We can become partakers of the holiness of God. God wants to include us in his holiness at our salvation when none of us are righteous, no, not one, when we have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, through our salvation, we participate in his divine nature. We are becoming holy in Jesus Christ, and there is a day when we will stand before him, and face to face, we will see him, and we will be like him. We will be made perfect in Jesus Christ. So we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Certainly, we see in these verses the glory of God the Father. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We see also the glory of Jesus Christ. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also see the holiness of God. If you are in the Holy Spirit of God. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Notice the glory of God is our hope. Colossians chapter 1. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, our hope of glory. The Lord dwelling in us, the Spirit of God dwelling in us, is our guarantee that we will be perfected in glory. This is our destiny, as we see in Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. First of all, we need to notice, you jot this down, what is the glory of God? It is his holiness. The holiness of God is his glory, and God displays his holiness for all to see. What is the holiness of God? It is his perfection. God is absolutely perfect. God is absolutely perfect. Not one of us is. But God is absolutely perfect, and his holiness is his glory. And we've seen that in these verses. His holiness is the absolute perfection of God, and this is his infinite worth. Notice what the prophet Isaiah says. And to one, and one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The holiness of God is the glory of God. And God puts his holiness on display for us to see. We looked at Psalm 19:1. His perfection is seen in creation. And his perfection is seen in his word. He is holy. And God delights when we recognize his perfection. John 17:5, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." God's glory is the outward radiance of his intrinsic beauty. God's glory is one of his many perfections, or his holiness is one of his many perfections. God is perfect in his mercy, perfect in his grace. He is perfect in his kindness, perfect in his love. He is perfect in his justice. He is perfect in his wrath. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everywhere present. These are God's perfections. We also call these his attributes. The glory of God is his holiness. The glory of God are his perfections. Secondly, today is Reformation Sunday. This is the last Sunday of October, the Sunday that is closest to October 31st. And it was on October 31st, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Somebody said on their way into the Sunday school teacher's breakfast, that there weren't many churches that were celebrating the Reformation or the 500th anniversary of the Reformation today. And that's an incredible tragedy. It's a tragedy for a couple of reasons. One is because the Reformation brought the Scripture back to us, the common people. It was the Reformation that brought us out of the dark ages of Europe's history. Martin Luther was distressed by the corruption in the Roman Catholic Church. And there are several realities in that. One of them was that the clarity of the gospel had been lost. The salvation that was being presented to people through the church was about religious rites, was about the works of mankind, either to someone else or on my own behalf. The clarity of the gospel had been lost. The reformers were concerned that God's eternal plan for the redemption of sinful humanity was being clouded by those religious rites, by selfish greed. The reformers believed then, and so we do now, that salvation is by faith alone and grace alone, through Jesus Christ alone. Much of the confusion about the gospel was caused by a blatant disregard for God's word. In the church, the scriptures were ignored. They were ignored by church leaders. And the scripture wasn't available in the everyday language of the common man. People didn't have access to a Bible, let alone to have dozens of them in their home. They had no Bible that they could read. Not only was the scripture ignored by church leadership and replaced by church tradition or dogma, but outside the church leadership, the Bible just wasn't available, wasn't read. But when the scriptures became to be available, when people who knew the language of the Bible, Latin or Greek or Hebrew, and those basically the Bible was available in the original languages of Hebrew and Greek. It had been translated into Latin, and only church leadership knew Latin. But when they began to read the Bible in Latin, and when the Bible became available in the common language, then we came to understand the truth of 2 Timothy 3:15, that the scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation. And people began being saved through reading the scripture and understanding that the word of God is powerful to save. The word of God cut through the spiritual darkness, and an incredible revival began in Europe. There was repentance for sin. There was a confession of sin. People began to call upon the Lord. This was a spiritual awakening, a revival. We call this the Reformation. The scripture was elevated over the words of men, and the scripture was elevated over the words of the church or the teaching of the church. There's a third thing here in the introduction. The reformers were delighted to acknowledge the sovereign God as the only one worthy of glory. God alone is the only one worthy of worship. There is no man, there is no church that is worthy of our worship. It is God alone. It is the Lord alone who is recognized as the only one who can save us from our sin. Not a man, not a church. God alone redeems us. Number four, these foundational truths of the Reformation are summarized in what's called the five solas. Brandon gave those to us earlier in the service. The five solas are Latin, and translated into English, sola fide, or salvation is from faith alone, sola gratia, grace alone, solus Christus, Christ alone. And then we elevate Scripture in sola scriptura, or Scripture alone. And we looked at the first three of those, sola fide, sola gratia, solus Christus, in March, April, and May. And September, we looked at sola scriptura. And today, we look at soli Deo gloria, or to God alone be the glory. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and let me give you the fifth thing of the introduction. I warned you this was going to be a long introduction. And my promise came true. Fifth and finally, why in the world spend five Sunday mornings and a dozen Sunday nights looking at the five solas of Scripture and then looking at the biographies of some of the reformers on Sunday night? Why invest so much time on our Sundays to this? Well, the Psalms give us the answer. In Psalm 89, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. The Reformation isn't about the men of the Reformation. Although we rejoice in their salvation, we rejoice in their leadership, we look at people like Martin Luther, we look at people like John Calvin, John Huss, Zwingli, Latimer, we look at the reformers, and as we look, we rejoice in their salvation. They certainly weren't perfect men. But it was God who worked through them. It was God's Spirit using His Word to convict these men of sin and to begin to preach the purity of the gospel, elevating the Scripture, clarifying salvation as by being faith alone, grace alone, in Christ alone, realizing that it's to the glory of God alone, not the glory of a man, not the glory of themselves, not the glory of a church. Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. It's been 500 years. That's an incredibly long time. And the Reformation brought Europe out of the Dark Ages. But be aware of the fact we are slipping into a new Dark Age. A dark age where once again the Word of God is hidden from people. But please be aware of the fact the Word of God is hidden right in front of them and they don't see it. They've been blinded by the evil one. We're in a new dark age. And we are the reformers of this age who lift up the Word of God, who glorify Jesus Christ, God alone, and proclaim a pure gospel by faith alone, grace alone, and Christ alone. So it's good for us to remember. Now, there are just two verses for our text. Will you join me in standing, please? Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. For from him and through him and to him are all things. This summarizes the glory of God. And to him be glory forever. Amen. Now turn to the last verse of the book of Romans. The last verse of the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 27. Romans 16:27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see these truths. Help us to be reminded that you are the only one worthy of our worship. You alone are the one we give glory. We recognize your holiness and we rejoice in it. Teach us these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are four questions we want to look at. First is, who is to be glorified? Who is to be glorified? We tend to think that we are the center of the universe. We are inclined to think that everything begins with us and ends with us. This is a glitch. This is a sin. If I say glitch, you might think mistake. But be clear, this is a sin from Genesis chapter 3 that we think the world revolves around us. My littlest grandson just turned 1, and he will wander around the house and he will fuss, and I will pick him up and I will say to him, "Did you think we forgot you're the center of the universe?" And that's how all of us act. Now, we understand it in a 1-year-old, but it's not so pretty in a 57-year-old. Thank you. That was perfectly timed. Thank you. We're sinners, and we think the world revolves around us. Now, this is your problem, and this is my problem, but this is humanity's problem. Humanity thinks that the world revolves around us. Humanity thinks that they're beginning and that they're the end. Humanity thinks this, but Scripture tells us otherwise. Genesis begins with, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. And if you go to the last book, chapter 22, "And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever." See, everything begins with God and everything ends with God. And the Scripture is clear on that. Look at Isaiah. "I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols." He also says, for my own sake I do it. "For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. You don't need to leave a marker in Romans. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians 2 is on page number 976 of the Black Pew Bible. Ephesians 2, page number 976. And the second question: why are we to acknowledge God's glory? Who is to be glorified? God. God alone is to be glorified. And why are we to acknowledge God's glory? Well, we just saw He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the only wise God. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. There is no other. And the Reformers reclaimed this truth. But we also glorify God because of the salvation that He gives to us through Jesus Christ. And we're familiar with Ephesians chapter 2. We're quite familiar. In my class on Wednesday nights, we just went over this. But look at the bad news of Ephesians 2:1. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our desires, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Look at verse 3. We were by nature children of wrath. This is our character. And this character stands opposed to the holy character of God. The perfection of God is contrasted with our sinfulness. So the great news of verse 4, But God, who is rich in the perfection of mercy, because of His perfection of great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By the perfection of his grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the perfection of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we looked at these verses way back in March in Sola Fide, faith alone. We looked at these verses in April in Sola Gratia, grace alone. We looked at these verses in May when we considered Solus Christus, or Christ alone, because it is in Christ alone, by his grace and the faith that he gives as a gift, that we are saved. And all of this we see in Scripture, and we see it in Scripture alone. We can repeat it as churches. We can repeat it as groups of people. We can repeat it as an individual, but we know that it comes through Solus Christus, the Solus Scriptura, Sola Scriptura. We know that it comes through Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, and it is to the glory of God alone that we understand this. Now turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96 is on page number 499. Psalm 96, page number 499. Now, we acknowledge God's sovereignty. We acknowledge his perfections and his attributes. And now we ask the question, when should we glorify God? When should we glorify God? And Paul answered this when he wrote to the Corinthians. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know I'm going to say this. The Greek word for all, it means all. That's right. It means all. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And it answers, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Peter said, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God's. He's speaking of Christian gifts, the spiritual gifts. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. John wrote in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now look at Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Wait a second. Tell of his salvation from day to day. You know what that is? That's evangelism. That's us telling others about God's salvation. And when do we do this? Every day. Every day we do this. We tell of his salvation. We declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Now don't separate verse 3 from verse 2. declare his glory. What is God's glory? His holiness, his perfection. So in my evangelism, I am telling people about the holiness of God. Do you know why we tell people about the holiness of God? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, you can't tell people they're sinners, they won't listen. Well, if we don't tell people they're sinners, then they won't see that they need a Savior. If we don't tell people they're imperfect, they won't see a need for a perfect Savior. Oh, I'm not denying the power of God's Word, and I'm not denying the power of God's Spirit. But our evangelism is telling people that they're sinners. Now, how we do this is really important. Because if we do this while we're looking down at them, that's the problem. If we're looking down our nose at sinners because now I'm better than them, let me clarify this a little bit. See, I understand that now that I'm a sinner saved by grace, I am a partaker of God's divine nature. I realize that God is making me perfect. I realize that that perfection won't be complete until I stand before the Lord. So I realize that God is making me perfect, that day by day, he's chipping away parts of my life that don't honor him, that don't glorify him. So I realize that God is making me perfect. But that doesn't mean that I'm superior to anybody. That just means I'm a little bit farther along in the process. So when I tell a sinner that he's a sinner, I speak as someone who's been there, done that. Realize this. Because if we look down our nose, then we've missed the point of our salvation. The point of our salvation is God's glory. So, I declare his holiness, his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns, or the Lord is sovereign. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. There's a fourth thing we want to point out. The glory of God is our eternal hope. This is our hope. When we were saved and God began this good work in us, in perfecting us, recreating us into Christ's image, this work will continue all the days of our life, all the days that we breathe, and will be completed. Our hope will be fulfilled in glory when we stand before Christ. Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This is what Jesus prayed in his prayer in the garden just before he was betrayed by Judas by a kiss. Jesus prayed, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Hebrews chapter 1. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is our God? He is a holy God. He is absolutely perfect. And we acknowledge his perfection in our worship. We acknowledge his perfection in our evangelism. When we tell sinners there is a holy God who will hold people accountable for their sin, but who in love and mercy extends salvation to us. This was a truth that was lost during the Dark Ages, but has been reclaimed, and we celebrate the glory of God, his holiness, and we worship him.